أما بعد، قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد بعد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الله اشترى من المؤمنين أنفسهم وأموالهم بأن لهم الجنة. صدق الله العلي العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم، ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. My respected brothers and elders in Islam, in this world we know of two dominant economic systems. One is capitalism and one is socialism. The capitalist believes in the absolute and unconditioned ownership of private property. And as opposed to the capitalist, the socialist believes that whatever you work for is collectively owned by society. So they do not subscribe to private ownership of assets. So the capitalist believes that what he works for is his private property. So whatever he accrues is his in terms of ownership. The socialist believes that whatever wealth that is generated has to be redistributed to the entire community. Now, when we look at the Islamic economic system, it is between the two extremes. We do not believe in absolute ownership of wealth. What you own is not yours absolutely or unconditionally. And neither is it like, as the socialists believe, that what you own doesn't belong to you but belongs to the community. It must be redistributed to create some kind of equality in the community. In the verse that I've recited before you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Inna Allah ashtara min al-mu'minina," that Allah has purchased from the mu'mineen, from the believers, amwalahum, anfusahum wa amwalahum, their souls and their wealth. In other words, the wealth that every individual owns is actually an amanat and a trust in our hands. The real owner is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it is a conditional ownership. It's not unrestricted, unfettered ownership like the capitalists believe. So how you earn your money, where you spend it, and how much you spend is all governed because you are simply a trustee of your wealth. So, a capitalist believes that he earns money for personal satisfaction. We earn money for personal satisfaction, to fulfill your needs and your wants, without any restriction. The socialist approach to wealth is that wealth is generated to create equality amongst the working class. And the Islamic approach to wealth is that we acquire wealth for what is called al-falah, for success in this world and in the year after, to ensure that we have sufficient to live off in this world and to procure our abode in the year after. So when we talk of wealth in Islam, we do not talk of absolute ownership of private property. We talk about trusteeship over your private property. You are simply, as a Muslim, you are simply a trustee over the wealth that you have. And because you are a trustee, the principle, the overriding principle in Islam for all, in all matters, is that the rights of society would always prevail over the rights of an individual. When we have to decide, the rights of society will trump, will prevail over the right of an individual. Now, what does this trusteeship of money really mean? It means that we cannot hoard wealth. We cannot spend our wealth as we desire. And Islam has ensured through its economic system that there is a constant flow and redistribution of wealth into different segments of society. So, wealth cannot be owned by a selected few, a concentrated few in a society. It has to constantly flow and be redistributed in society through different channels. And to ensure this constant distribution or redistribution of wealth, Islam has prescribed and encouraged what is called waqf, where you take an X amount of money, invest that money, you cannot use that money at all, that money cannot be depleted, but the income generated from those funds could be used for particular causes or beneficiaries. So this is a long-term sustained flow of wealth through the Institute of Waqf. And this was a very common practice. Some scholars say there was hardly a Sahabi of means who didn't have his own waqf, where he invested an X amount of money and ensured that the returns would be spent on beneficiaries that he had defined. So that's the one way of ensuring that wealth continues to be redistributed within the community. Secondly, Islam has prescribed the laws of inheritance, which is probably the loudest anti-capitalist statement. Because the laws of inheritance, you know, means that the largest number of people, based on the widest margin of relationship to you, will inherit from you. So again, here, an individual owns money, but at his demise, he has no right to determine how that money will be distributed. Allah has decided which beneficiaries will receive how much. So that's another form of ensuring the distribution of wealth in the community through the laws of inheritance. And thirdly, we have the Institute of Charity. And the charity is both voluntary charity and compulsory charity. And compulsory charity is what we call zakah, or sadaqat al-fitr, that we give at the end of the month of Ramadan. So zakah is a means of ensuring that this capital or this money is redistributed and flows within different segments of society. Therefore, the Quran says, وَفِي أَمْوَالِهِمْ حَقٌ مَعْلُومٌ لِلسَّائِلِ وَالْمَحْرُومِ, that in your wealth, in their wealth, is a designated portion for the destitute, the one who asks, and the one who is destitute. In other words, in the money that we own, because we are trustees, we also accept that not all of it is ours. A portion from the wealth that we own belongs to the poor. And that is discharged through the Institute of Zakah. Now, Zakah literally has a dual meaning. One, Zakah means to purify, to cleanse. خُذْ مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ صَدَقَةً تُطَهِّرُهُمْ. That, O Prophet of Allah, take the sadaqah, that means the zakat from them, from the people, to purify them, to purge them. What does this mean? That as long as you, once you discharge your zakat from your monies, your wealth has been purified. Just like wudu purifies our physical body, zakah purifies our wealth and is no longer classified as hoarding. When the verse was revealed, وَالَّذِينَ يَكْنِذُونَ الذَّهَبَ وَالْفِدَّةَ, that those who hoard gold and silver, وَلَا يُنْفِقُونَهَا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ, and they do not spend it in the path of Allah, give them glad tidings of a painful punishment. The Sahaba understood that they were not allowed to have any savings. Because how do you classify hoarding? You know, you may, in your capacity, may have 500 rands, that may be hoarding. Someone has 5 million rands, and that may be hoarding. So they were very grieved because the apparent words of the verse implied that you were not allowed to keep back anything. Use what you need and discharge the excess. So Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, O Prophet of Allah, this verse bears very heavily on us. Does it imply that we're not allowed to have any kind of savings? So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no, O Umar. When the verse says those who hoard means those who refuse to discharge their zakah. Once you have discharged your zakah, the assets and the capital that you own is now purified and is no longer classified as hoarding. So the one meaning of zakah is to purify the donor. Is the donor purified, the giver of zakah? One is his wealth is now purified, is no longer classified as hoarding. Two is that when you take zakah, when you give zakah, when the donor gives zakah, it purifies him from the blind love of wealth. It purifies him from greed. It purifies him from self-centeredness. It purifies him from selfishness. So that is how zakah develops and molds the character of a person. It's not simply discharging money. It is doing something to you. It is cleansing you of greed. It is cleansing you of selfishness. It is cleansing you of the blind love of wealth that you are giving at the instruction of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Secondly, the second meaning of zakah, it means growth. So zakah, one is purifies you as an individual and purifies your wealth. And secondly, zakah ensures that your wealth will multiply. Your wealth will increase. Therefore, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, مَا نَقَصَتْ صَدَقَةٌ مِّن مَالٍ. That, O people, in one narration he says, I take an oath that your wealth will never decrease on account of you discharging your zakah. Allah will compensate, Allah will give it back to you in ways that you cannot understand and in ways you cannot imagine. So the more you give, the more you will receive. So zakah is actually a means of attracting the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So zakah means an increase in your wealth. Though physically, we believe that when if we have 100 rands and we're giving 50 rands in zakah, our wealth has diminished by 50%. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, I take an oath, your wealth has not diminished. It's going to multiply. It's going to increase. So do not discharge zakah with a kind of reluctance. That if I give, I'm going to get poor. If I'm going to give, my wealth is diminishing. Nabi